In the year 1803, the Louisiana Territory was purchased by the United States of America from the French. It was a huge acquisition of land that doubled the size of the United States. Shortly after this time, Zebulon Montgomery Pike was put in charge to explore some of this newly acquired land. The goal of his mission was to make some scientific observations about this newly acquired land and to find the headwaters of the Arkansas River and the Red Rivers. He had a team of about 24 people to help him along on this adventure. I've been reading a little bit of a book containing some excerpts from this adventure from a personal journal of Mr. Pike, and reading about those experiences caused me to reflect on the differences between the life that I live today, less than 2 hours away from places where these experiences were captured 200 years ago. The biggest thing that caused me to think and reflect was recognizing how absolutely immersed Pike and his men were on their mission. They were completely immersed in their mission and in their goals. Now, reading a personal journal is much more different than reading a historical account. A history book will tell you about the significance of a work, but a personal journal tells you something from a different perspective, right? It'll tell you all about the fine-grained details, the real experiences, what's going through the man's head in the events that were happening at that time, as historically significant as they are. Some of these experiences, there's probably, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 different excerpts from days in his adventures. But there's descriptions of landscape and wildlife along his route. He tells about the struggles just keeping horses alive. Personal adventures too, trying to find food. He had to be very self-sufficient and do a lot of hunting in order just to survive. There are accounts of meeting natives and being victims of theft. He talks about camping in the mountains in what we call Pike's Peak today, in the caves in late November without blankets. I don't know if that's significant to any of you, but it's very, very cold, and he gives account of that. And he also talks about conflict with the Spanish. There's a lot of experience there. Now, reading this, it struck me, again, how immersive it was. Every single moment during this time, Pike was directly or indirectly driven by the goal to achieve his mission. There was nothing extraneous there. Every single bit had some impact on his mission. There was no protection or comfort. There was no going home, which was 800 miles away on horseback. He had to be completely self-sufficient. And because of this, there was no separation between work life and home life. There were lives of people that depended on every second of their activity. Everything had an impact. Now, I contrast this with my job, right? And you may be able to relate. I work 40 hours a week, and any effort that I spend outside of those 40 hours a week, I mostly spend trying to escape from those 40 hours a week. But I'm not here to talk about careers. I'm not talking about how we make our livings. I think you might see where I'm going with this. The parallel to you and me is that we too have a mission sent from God to help fulfill his plan. There is historical significance to the entire world, right? That what we are doing, our personal experiences, have historical significance that will undoubtedly be great. And we need to keep this mission in front of us at all times. The Christian way of life that we're living must be the single ultimate driving force in our lives. It must be the foundation by which we understand and build our activities. This mission gives our actions meaning. And again, our Christian lives are not a job. It is a mission. It is the fundamental driving force. All right. With that in mind, knowing that we have a single goal, I want to talk about two different things. And the first thing I want to talk about is very much relates to what Mr. Zierung had brought to us during his sermon on the Sabbath. And that is that nothing is hidden. Every single thing that we do, whether we like it or not, directly or indirectly has an effect or has an impact on how well we are achieving our mission. And if we don't believe that's true, we're wrong. It's not a choice. All works, everything we do, will be called into judgment, as we heard on the Sabbath from Mr. Zierung. Nothing is hidden from God. And I'll have you turn over to Luke 12, and we'll read verses 2 through 3 there. And it makes this point very clear. Luke 12, starting in verse 2, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known." Pretty simple. "Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops." If we have secrets now, they're not going to be like that forever, right? Everything will be revealed. So that means that everything we do had better be correctly motivated and correctly executed. We don't want to have our misbehavings exposed, right? Another thing that we know is that God is judging those who are called, and that is you and I. And if we want to overcome, which we have been called to do, we need to be active in making sure that all of our activities are really truly driven and motivated by this plan of God. I'll have you turn back in Luke, just a few pages here, to Luke 8, and I'll read verses 16 through 17. Luke 8, 16. "No one, when he is lit a lamp, covers it with vessels or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light." All this understanding that we're building, that is light. That is what we can share with this world, and it cannot be hidden. The fact that it will be revealed is the fact that God is making his understanding known to the world, and you and I are instrumental in that. So again, the first point here is that nothing is hidden. Everything is going to be revealed. Now, I want to talk about another thing here. If everything is going to be revealed, there is something I want to think about related to darkness and light. We know that all of our works will be brought to light. They'll be exposed and revealed. And we have a choice. We can walk in darkness, or we can walk in light. We can continue to do things in the shadows, trying to hide our sin, or we can choose to walk in the light, actively trying to overcome our sin. We know that we can't stop sinning, but we need to try, and we need to actively make a choice to do that. I'll have you turn over to Ephesians 5, and I'll read verses 8 through 14. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' Darkness is the way of sin, and that is what we are to be coming out of, coming into the light." The light is acting in a way consistent with our understanding. We know better, right? We need to act that way and walk in the light. So, we are fortunate. We have an opportunity to have this understanding. The light is the truth of God. John 12 speaks about that. John 12, and I'll read verses 35 and 36. John 12, starting in verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you." Speaking about his presence. "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed, and was hidden from them. So, brethren, we still live, we can still live in a way of darkness if we ignore our understanding. Jesus Christ provided us with a more clear understanding of God's truth. That is the light. And from that, we need to adjust our behavior. As he says, he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And in saying that, what he's saying is that if we don't apply understanding, we're walking in darkness. We're walking in a way of sin. And that's something we cannot do. I'll have you turn back just a few more pages in John to John 3, and I'll read verses 16 through 20. A very familiar scripture to us all. "For God so loved the world," John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Again, going back to the understanding that he's bringing to all of us. This is the verdict. Light has come to the world. Jesus Christ has come to the world in order to bring us understanding. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. If we believe in what Jesus Christ taught, if we believe in him, we will be adjusting our behavior. We will be coming out of sin. But we have a choice. We don't have to. We'd better, if we want to walk in the light, as he commands us to. Brethren, we know that all our works will be called into judgment. Nothing will be hidden. And all of those things that we do, we better be doing those in the light. We had better be doing that, our activities, with the understanding that we have been blessed with. It is a true gift. We just need to ask ourselves if we're on the right track. I'll read one last scripture, and this is in Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, starting in verse 11. "And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for flesh to fulfill its lust." Walking in the light is something we must do. We have an option to do otherwise, but there is a penalty for taking that option. This way of life in the light is not something to be afraid of, right? It is armor, as we've just heard here. It's armor. Walking in the light, being exposed 100%, is a way of life in righteousness. There's virtue. There's protection in that. And that is something we should not be afraid of.